Normally, we have a scripture reading at this time. John's going to have that a little later and going to share that with us. But John, of course, John and Trish, we know well. And God has called them to Honduras, to camping ministry there. And while we don't want to see them go, we don't want to stand in the way of God. Not a bad thing. Not a good thing to do. And so John wants to share some of the things that are on his heart, some of the things that they're headed to do, as well as open the scriptures to us as well. So, John, why don't you come and share for us?
Well, thanks for having me and letting me come up here and talk to you for a little bit. I wore my glasses this morning, so maybe you wouldn't recognize me. Yeah. Next week I'll be like this and you won't know it was me. But we're John and Trish Olvera, and we've been a part of this church together 7-8 years, and it's been neat to be here and see just all of you all the time and minister with you and work with you, and been a lot of fun. We have 3 kids. We have Aaron, who's 6. He's in first grade. Trish is homeschooling him. We have Annika, who's 4, 4 and a half, and we just have our 3rd one, Isaiah, who is 16 days now, so that's pretty neat. He's been just a super blessing for us and in our lives, and just exciting to have him. We weren't quite sure when we found out we were pregnant about having another kid. We weren't quite ready, but we're happy. We're happy with him. We're with CAM International. It's a mission organization that's been in existence for 120 years. So it's an old mission, but its outreach has always been to Spanish-speaking countries around the world. It used to stand for Central America Mission, but now they've shortened it to CAM and added international because they go all over the world. Their most recent field is opened in Uruguay just last year. Down in South America. Trish and I will be going to Honduras, in the center of Honduras, in a town called Siguatepeque. It's in Central America, borders Guatemala, El Salvador, and Nicaragua. And we're going there to start and direct a youth Bible camp, and we'll hold a summer camp there for the youth, retreats, and all sorts of different conferences and different things. We'll open it up as much as possible for the youth of Honduras. Both Trish and I have grown up going to youth camps and summer camps in our lives, and we both feel and know that it's been such a huge part of our growing spiritually and just maturing spiritually in our lives. And we both feel that it's camp, summer camp for a kid is probably the best youth ministry tool there is. And we're just really excited to be able to share our experience down in Honduras. And there's just something about spending a week at a time or even a couple days for a young person, you know, getting them away from their normal everyday life and what they've been used to and sharing with them the truth of Jesus Christ. In just that short time, you can see a child that you would never ever believe they would behave or trust in Christ. And just a few days, they're turning around and they're placing their faith in him, and it's the neatest thing to see. We also love camp because it's an excellent example of the body coming together. We get all kinds of people, speakers, counselors, teachers, cooks, maintenance people. Just it takes so many people just to put it on and it's God that makes it successful. And it's neat because we've been at several different weeks and different directors have different ways of doing things, and God makes it happen. He makes it work. and it's so awesome. So we're super excited about being able to go. But we still have a few things to do before we can go. January 20th, as Pastor Jeff said, we're heading over to North Carolina to go to Center for Intercultural Training, and where we will gain, it's in Union Mills, North Carolina. We'll gain some tools in dealing with culture shock, stress and conflict with team members, and also some tools that'll help us with language school. We'll be going to language school in Honduras. We're not able to go until we reach 100% of our financial support. CAM has a 100% policy. Currently, we're at 75%, and we came up with an affectionate term called Team 20, it's someone who supports us $20 a month is a Team 20 member. And if you we've kind of joked around, if you go a little bit higher, then you're a platinum member, but you can go lower for sure. We've done this just so you can see we need less than 70 individuals at $20 a month, and we'll be at 100% of our financial support. So God has brought us a long ways, and it's really neat, because I think last year at this time we were at around 20%. So he's really provided, just immensely this year, and it's been awesome to see people coming alongside of us. We'll be at CIT in North Carolina until April, and once we come back, we hope to really just be very close, a lot closer to 100% by then, and be able to leave for language school shortly after that. So spring, early summer of next year, we'll hopefully be leaving for language school. A lot of people have been saying they're excited to hear me preach this morning, and I've been denying. I'm not preaching. I don't have a message. I don't have a sermon. But I have a little devotion for you, and I hope it's good for you. We're going to take a look this morning at what it means to be salt, and I think Marvin has a verse, Matthew 5:13. And before I go too far, this is from a sermon that I heard a while ago, about in 2006, and it actually helped spur me on to look for this opportunity in Honduras to go get into full-time mission work. I had gone on my first missions trip to Mexico with Lolo Church, with a bunch of college kids, back in 99. And I knew from then on I wanted to get into full-time career mission work. In 2006, we were starting to get an itch again to get going and get moving on this this desire in our hearts. And so in Matthew 5:13, this is the ESV version. It says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt loses its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet." So salt is used in greater quantities than any other mineral on earth. And it has more than 14,000 uses. Everyone uses salt directly and indirectly. Americans consume more than 16 tons of salt in their lifetime. That's a lot of salt. And 402 pounds a year for each living American. Only a small percentage is consumed or ingested as food. But I went to the saltinstitute.org, and they have a long list. I don't know if they have all 14,000, but I printed off a bunch of them. And boiling water Salt added to water makes water the water boil at a higher temperature, reducing cooking time. It doesn't make the water boil faster, though, some think. Peeling eggs helps make eggs peel easier. Prevents browning on apples and pears and potatoes. Shelling pecans. Cleaning ovens. Cleaning tarnished silverware. Cleaning coffee pots. Removing onion odors from hands. Cleaning dried on egg. Preventing mold. This is a good one. Prevent mold on cheese. Wrap it in a cloth dampened with salt water before refrigerating. Keep your milk fresh a little longer. Add a pinch of salt. Removing perspiration stains on your clothes. Removing blood stains. Color matching nylons. It says here if you have good nylons that don't have a match, they can be made the same color by boiling them a few minutes in a pan of lightly salted water. So, it's useful, right? Bathing your eyes. I'd have a hard time putting salt water in my eyes, but mix a half a teaspoon of salt in a pint of water and use the solution to bathe tired eyes. Relieving tired feet, treating mosquito and sugar bites, that'll help us in Honduras. Removing dry skin, extinguishing grease fires, removing soot, keeping cut flowers fresh, killing poison ivy, and a good one is deodorizing shoes. So you are the salt of the earth, but if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. So Jesus is telling the disciples that you are the salt of the earth, and I think that's also speaking to us, right? As believers, we are the salt of the earth. And so what we've learned this morning about salt and its many uses, we see that it's useful and it's valuable and it's very necessary. Oops, I missed a couple places here. Salt is important to our body. It's very important to our body, obviously. We must have salt in order to function correctly. And excessive sodium causes high blood pressure and liver and kidney disease. But a deficiency can cause dizziness and dehydration, low blood pressure, memory impairment, poor coordination, and weight loss. So it's important for our bodies. There's an importance in history. Roman soldiers, back in ancient Rome, there's a phrase called worth one salt. Began with ancient Rome and possibly back before 900 BC. During that time, Roman soldiers were paid for work in salarium, which was an allowance for the purchase of salt. And salt was considered good for human health and was a hard-to-find commodity. The word soldier in that era literally meant one who is paid in salt. The sal in the word salarium is Latin for pay, and over the years we've turned it into the English word salary. To say someone is worth his or her salt, you're saying that he or she is worth the wages he is or she is earning. For the Israelites, salt was a symbol of an everlasting covenant with God. In Numbers 18:19, it says, an everlasting covenant of salt. It was also required in sacrifices that they made to God. Good salt is powerful to give good taste and preserve food. Now there's the other side of that verse that says, how can it be made salty? But if it loses its taste, it's no longer good for anything. Bad salt, here's another use for bad salt. It's used to quicken dung decomposition. Also, spreading bad salt over a destroyed city was a symbol of the city's permanent ruin. In Judges 9:45, Abimelech destroyed the city of Shechem and scattered salt all over it as a symbol that it's not coming back and it's no good. So again, we look, Jesus tells us we're the salt of the earth. And as we look at how salt is used and its valuableness, how necessary it is for us, what are some implications in our lives being salt among this world? We see that it is very useful, that it's very valuable, and it's very necessary. Salt flavors. We should taste good to others, right? When we come in contact with an unbeliever or someone that's maybe struggling in their faith or something. Colossians 4:6 says, "Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." You know what happens when you meet someone that is just incredible, it's so wonderful, and you know it, right? You just meet him maybe for a couple minutes, and there's an instant, "I'd die for you," I want to be your friend or something. You know, they just seep good taste from their actions and their words. But you also know what happens when you meet someone who's not so tasty. These are, you know, maybe they don't have salt in their life. Maybe it's lost its flavor there a little bit. Salt relieves wounds. It cleans and heals. It preserves and prevents. But looking at these uses in salt and the value and how necessary it is, we see that its effectiveness has everything to do with how much and where it's used. So there's a balance. Just like our diets require a balance of salt, we shouldn't be overbearing or underbearing in our saltiness. As with food, not enough saltiness kind of leaves food a little bland, but too much salt kind of curls your teeth, makes you want to gag and spit. Have you ever had the salt shaker come off the lid, or the lid come off the salt shaker, and that's not good? So we need to have a good balance in our saltiness, in the way we present ourselves to others. And I think all of these 14,000 uses of salt shows that there's not just one way to present ourselves, to present our faith in our Savior to unbelievers. But when we come into contact with them, you know, it's different things that we bring to them. And that's what attracts an unbeliever to come to faith. So this will be pretty short. You are the salt of the earth. We are the salt of the earth. And so be good salt, because if you're not, what good are you? Right? Now I'll say this, thankfully, we as Christians aren't the only model. I read in a commentary recently that thankfully that Christ's truth does not rest in his followers. You know, we're going to mess up in our saltiness. We may get the salt shaker in their eye as we present the gospel to people, but thankfully Jesus is the perfect example. And we point them to him. You know, we don't point them to the church or to a pastor or to our best friend that we feel is the greatest Christian on earth. We point them to Jesus Christ, because he's the perfect model. He's the perfect saltiness. So I want to share with you guys a few prayer requests that we have coming up and some praises. Also, we've been praying a long time for a healthy baby and a healthy mom, and both are doing well. We had a kind of a preventative DNC done on Trish a week ago, and she's doing really well. So just continue praying for that, that she would stay healthy and just continue getting stronger and doing well. We've been praying for a larger vehicle, which we got the same day we expanded our family. So that was pretty neat. So our prayer request will be, we have a house and we're going to put it on the market here this month or in January, and we would love to sell it quickly. So just pray for a buyer that would take a good price for it. We're also, January 20th, we're going to be traveling 3,500 miles over to North Carolina with a couple of stops. We're going to go see my sister in Kansas, and we'll be going to Dallas to check in with our home office. So we'd love your prayers for that, for safe travel, good travel with a newborn. Pray for our time at CIT, that it would be really enriching. We've heard that it's life-changing for people. Just pray that we would be encouraged and challenged in our faith and our walk, just to take another step. You can also pray for more support to come in. Like I said, we were not able to go to language school until we reach 100%. And we just need a little bit more. So just continue to pray that hearts would be stirred. We also need more prayer support too. So consider that. The last prayer request I would have for you guys is that you would pray as a church body about going on a missions trip. And I've been doing this in the past several churches that we've visited. I went on a missions trip to Mexico with Lolo Church, and that changed my life. It challenged me, and I knew what I wanted to do after that in life. And if you've never gone on a missions trip, Lolo has a missions trip coming up in March to Mexico, the same one that I went on. And it's an awesome opportunity to go. If you've never gone, I highly encourage you to go. And in a couple of years, we'd love to have you come to Honduras. So pray about that. We'll have work projects for you, lots of good experiences, and some lovely weather. So please be in prayer about that together. So thank you so much for your support already. This has been just an awesome, awesome church, and we love coming back here when we've been traveling a lot, and just to see familiar faces and people that love us. And we love you too. So thank you again. And that's all I have.